better to me than I've been to myself, Lord. And we just want to thank you this morning, Lord. Father, I come to you, Lord, with bowed down head and humble heart, Lord, asking that you would lead, guide, and direct my thoughts and my actions this morning, Lord. Lord, hide me behind your cross so that the people will see you and not see me, Lord, that they will see your cross, Lord. Lord, hide me behind my cross so that they would not hear me, Lord, but they would hear your holy words this morning, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would just build this church up, Lord, that you would strengthen and protect us, and Lord, that your word go forth, Lord, that you would bless each and every home represented today. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. First, giving reverence to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to my pastor, the angel of this house, Pastor James A. Brooks II, to the St. John Church family. Today, I would like to speak to you from the book of Luke, the 6th chapter, the 27th through the 38th verse. And for a topic is easier said than done. Today's subject will be easier said than done. And in fact, it could be said much easier said than done. This passage is from Luke, the 6th chapter, 27 through 38. And the King James versions, when you read it, this whole portion is in red because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is speaking. And so if Jesus is speaking, we might want to listen to what he has to say. And it reads, "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the cheek, offer also the other. And to him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and to them that take away thy, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and to good and do good, and to lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto to the unthankful and the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measures, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. You may be seated. the disciples' behavior must surpass that of a sinner. The new principles of life that Jesus is expounding to the disciples are A, governing relationships, love and do good, offer the other cheek, concerning property, deprive not, give, do not demand material goods. The argument, a disciple's behavior must surpass sinners. In what way? In love, in doing, in lending, for the reward for living right shall be great. We shall be children of the Most High. We shall be acting as God's children. And the promise is reciprocal behavior. We will receive what we give. Our relationship with God is reciprocal, if not with man. If we don't receive man, God has promised us that we will be called his children and that he has a reward for us waiting. In property, the principle of a person receives what he gives. The principles that Jesus spelled out are shocking. They go against every grain of society and every fiber of a man's being. Man rebels by nature against what Jesus is saying. This is easier said than done. However, the new principles must be heeded, for they are the salvation of society and the hope of man for life. Could you imagine trying to get people to live by these principles today? Even church-going Christians? Try to tell Congress to turn the other cheek, or to tell the President of the United States to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Try to tell the Senate, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. This goes against our culture. Completely. I'm not talking about outward showing because many claim to be believers, but their actions don't prove it. Life principles of the believer behavior, these are new principles of life. Two things should be noted immediately. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. And those who would hear, he knew that all would not hear. I was watching a movie, I don't know, some of you might have seen it. It was called White Men Can't Jump. And there was a scene in the movie where Wesley Snipes told Woody Harrelson, you listen to Jimmy, but you can't hear Jimmy. Talking about Jimi Hendrix. Woody Harrelson was telling him how much he liked Jimi Hendrix. He said, you can't hear Jimmy. Well, Jesus has said the same thing to those that are listening to him. You listen, but some of you are not going to hear. And it could be said the same today. If they were disciples, some just closed their ears if they did not like what they heard. And what Jesus was about to preach was a complete switch from the way men and society lived. He was about to say some things men had never heard or thought about. He knew some were going to shut their ears, so he warned them and encouraged them that they guard against not listening. There are now principles governing human relationships. Jesus touched on five specific behaviors. Love your enemies. Believers are to love all men, even enemies. They are to respect and honor all men. Every human being has something that is commendable, even if it's only if nothing but the fact that he is a fellow human being. First, loving one's enemies is against human nature. The behavior of human nature is to react, to hate, to strike back, and to wish hurt. At best, human nature treats enemies with coldness and distance. The root of human reaction against enemies, selfishness and bitterness. Do good. Do good to them that hate you. Imagine the impact of these words to the world of Jesus' day. They were enslaved by people that conquered them and hated. And they were conquered and hated by the Romans. Yet Jesus was saying, do good to them. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, we must be careful when we talk about the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus warned us that unless our righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees. The Pharisees' mistake was that they didn't accept Jesus as their Savior. We exceed, our righteousness exceed the Pharisees only because when we accept Jesus, his righteousness is imputed onto us. But the Pharisees didn't accept Jesus. On the outside, they look good. They offered up prayer. They fast, sometimes three times a day. But on the inside, they were far from God. The Pharisees appeared to be good. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing that thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. That's Romans 12:20. Note that doing good goes beyond words. It actually does things for the person who hates. It reaches out to him through his family and friends, employment, and business. It searches for ways to do good to him, realizing he needs to be reached for God. If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Bless people. Bless them that curse you. People do curse, and sometimes they curse other people. When someone curses the believer is to bless the curser, not to retaliate back. He is to speak softly and to use kind and reconciling words. I don't know about everybody else in here, but I have worked with people that are not believers. I have dealt with some situations that I didn't really care for. And I say this sermon topic is easier said than it is to do it, because without God's Holy Spirit, without God and the power that God gives us, I wouldn't be able to. I wouldn't be able to. Bless those that do you wrong. You know, I have experienced on many occasions on the job where people have knowingly done wrong, and the consequences was other people had to pick up the slack and do their work for them. Come in one door and go out the next, and come back and punch out when the day's over with. But God says not to hate them, not to curse them, but to bless those that spitefully use you. Bless them which persecute you. Bless them that curse not. I've even experienced on a job before where I had to take off for a funeral, and I came back to work, and people were accusing me of making something up. And they lie so much, if you take off, if you use the excuse, they think you lying too. And so, I mean, it's happened. It's happened. It probably happened to some of you. But this Bible verse speaks to that. It says, do not curse those that spitefully use you. Because our behavior is to surpass that of a sinner. We're not to render, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are therefore called, that ye should inherit a blessing. And I will tell you something about this. I've actually studied this portion of scripture as I was going through something, and I really hated going through it. But you want to know, in the end, I wish that what they would remember about me is that I was a Christian, that I was a church-going man, and if they ever wanted to turn to God, that they would be influenced by this very action of not exchanging railing for railing and evil for evil, that God would work in their hearts. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir anger. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Pray for others. Pray for them which despitefully use you. This refers not only to those who speak despitefully, but for those who use you despitefully. It is not an attempt to shame or hurt both or name in name and body. Someone tries to shame, dishonor, disgrace, and reproach us, and even go further. They misuse, mistreat, abuse, and attack, and persecute us. What are we to do? Christ says, pray for them. When they despitefully use you, pray for them. Pray for God to forgive the persecutor. Pray for peace between oneself and the persecutor. Pray for the persecutor's salvation and correction. This is hard to do. You know, as I study the Bible, as I read the Bible, as I walk the Christian walk, you know, I try to be careful not to answer too quickly, because some things are not easy to do. They're easy to understand. They're easy to receive. But are we really listening as Christ warned? Because he's saying not to retaliate. It's hard not to retaliate. You know, when I first became a Christian and something happened, and I was talking to a deacon, an older member, and he was telling me, oh, you gotta let that go. I said, man, they can't fight. It's easy for them to let it go. I said, but, you know, well, I was having a hard time letting this go, you know. It's easy to let it go if you can't fight, you know. but it's talking to you too, you know. And if you're in, if you are in a position of power where you might be able to retaliate, it's saying, it's speaking the same thing, because in your power or whatever, you might lead someone to Christ by this new and radical behavior of Christianity. You know, Christianity is not for weak people. Christianity is not for scared people. This is saying if somebody's even trying to do bodily harm to you, that you should pray for him and that you should, you know, I found two examples in the Bible. The greatest example I found in life, two people from the Bible. One is when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we know what that is. That's one of the seven last sayings when Jesus was hung on the cross and men were spat on him and cursed him. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then the other one is, he said, and Stephen kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That's Acts 7 and 60, verse 60. And we know that Stephen was stoned to death. And we're talking about his response to that. And so we are talking about when people, when we're going through difficulties with people that are non-believer. Pray for the persecutor. Prayer for the persecutor will greatly benefit the believers. It will keep the believer from becoming bitter, hostile, and reactionary. "Offer the other cheek unto thee that smiteth thee. On one cheek offer the other." Now, this is not talking about allowing somebody to just walk all over you. But it's talking about when suffering for the gospel's sake, for his personal testimony for Christ, the believer is to respond to physical abuse just as his Lord did. He is to demonstrate moral strength through quiet and meek spirit, trusting God to touch the heart of the persecutor. And the verse says, "And they spit upon him and took a reed and smote him on the head." Matthew 27 and 30. "And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by," you know, we say talk about turning the other cheek. "When officers stood by with the palm of his hand striking, answering, thou answerest thou the high priest so?" And so Jesus was struck on the cheek when he was stood trial before Caiaphas. And so the Lord is not asking us to do anything that he hasn't demonstrated himself, and that he himself suffered these things for the gospel. These are some difficult things to do of yourself. "I am nothing, but I can do of myself, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." Titus 3 and 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the wisdom of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." And so we have to look at Jesus' example, where he came into his own world that he had created, and men, in the darkness, he was the light. He came into the darkness, and the darkness knew him not. And they didn't receive him as a son, but they But they rebelled against him. They rebelled against his preaching. They rebelled against his teaching. The religious leaders of that day did not recognize him for who he was, the Son of God, the Son of the living God. But we have to remember that what he's asking us to do, he's already done. Why would we be called the children of the Most High? Because when he came and he suffered the death of the cross, when he came and he stood trial before men, before evil, sinful men, he first commanded his love toward us while we were yet sinners, while we were rebelling against him in our nature, when we refused to accept him, he loved us, and he commanded his love toward us. It was not we that chose him, but it was he that chose us. He also chose to lay his life down. Even though he was tried, and they could find no fault with him, they screamed for him to be crucified. And so he carried his own cross up to a hill called Calvary, where he was hung on that cross, and they pierced him in the side. He died, and he was laid into a... After he had died, they pierced him in the side. And when they pierced him in the side, blood and water flowed from his side, indicating that he was already dead. They laid him in a borrowed tomb where he stayed 3 days, 3 whole days, and 3 whole nights. But early Sunday morning, he rose up again. He rose up again with all power in his hand. I said in the beginning, it's easier said than done. In our own power, it's impossible. It's impossible. But with God and with the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. And we need him to carry out this this passage of scripture. We can't do it on our own. You know, I'm so glad that we have a God like the God we have, a God like Jesus that showed us what love really is. His death on the cross was love for those that didn't love him, for those that was rebelling against him. And so while we were yet in sin and lost, he commanded his love toward us. Amen.